My family with me this morning, my wife Julie, and then our daughters have not been able to travel with us for a while. They've both been at college. Emily is now in her junior year there at West Coast Baptist College and recently engaged. And so we have a wedding coming up May the 22nd, so you pray for us on that. Engaged to a good godly young man. They both feel called to missions, and so we're praying for them as they seek the Lord's will there. And then Mallory is in the middle of her freshman year at West Coast Baptist College and majoring in education and loves to serve the Lord, feels called to children's ministry. So proud of her, and I'm proud of both of our girls. They love to serve the Lord. And we're very thankful God kept them safe there in California through a semester. Again, crazy times, the church there that the college is out of until just recently. I think they still were, but I think they stopped just recently. They were getting fined $1,000 every time they had church for quite some time there. And yet God was gracious and protected them, took care of them. So we're thankful for that. On the mission side, things have been going good. Again, through this whole season, we didn't know what was going to happen. We had to make a lot of adjustments at the office initially. Obviously, had to learn how to work from home, and our staff was great at doing that and really adapted well. But on the missionary side, we were concerned really mainly on the financial aspect, what would happen with missionary support. And I'm pleased to tell you that overall, our missionaries have not struggled financially. God has been so good. We averaged up over the last previous year what their average support was, and then we just kind of monitored that for the next few months from about late April till June, July. We monitored that to see if there was any difference, and there wasn't. In many cases, some of the giving increased, and we've heard from different churches who have said the same thing. Pastors have told me that somehow the giving has actually increased through this COVID time. And so that's a praise to the Lord. And again, that's a thank you to you for being faithful. You pray for our missionaries. On the financial side of it, they're doing well. On the ministry side of it, it's obviously a challenge, like it is for many here. I know we have many watching online this morning who are not able to be here and have underlying conditions. We understand that. There on the field, there's many areas where our missionaries are able to do the thing with technology, but in some areas they're not. Some of the people in some of those areas where they minister don't have internet, don't have the laptops, cell phones, different devices to be able to stream online. And so therefore, they're just really kind of stuck. So you pray for our missionaries as they adapt wherever they are and to try to minister and try to be a help to the folks that they're ministering to. So pray for them. I know they appreciate that. Good to see this good group of students this morning. Man, I love this. This is awesome. I love to see students here, and I'm glad that you're here as well. Before we get into the lesson for this morning, and by the way, we get out here, what, 10:15 or before?
In that neighborhood.
All right, we'll circle that neighborhood somewhere around there. Does anybody have any questions? Does anybody have any questions before I get into the lesson this morning? Anybody? I always like to be sure before I get started too much. Right. Yes, sir.
What's the pipeline look like for young students, young people going to mission field?
You mean like the process from start to finish, kind of, or?
Do you have a good number of young people?
Oh, gotcha.
Prepared for that right now, or is it kind of slow?
You know. On our side of it, we don't have a whole lot coming through right now, and I'm not sure what we would relate that to specifically. I know right now we actually had a young man who was going to go through our mission agency this year, and he's got a unique situation. He's actually feels called to be a missionary in Mexico, got connected with a national church there. His family is actually from Mexico. He's an American, but he got connected with a church down there and is, man, a top-notch guy. But he got to liking the pastor's daughter there in Mexico. Not a bad thing. But anyway, they decided to get married. She's not an American citizen. And so for her to go through an American mission agency, she has to at least get legal residency. And so I say that to say we've got a good young man that is, I mean, he's going, but he just can't go through us right now because of that situation. And they're eventually going to try to work on that, I think. But then we have another young lady who actually just graduated from a school in Lubbock, actually with a college degree, but feels called to missions. And so we're talking to her. She just graduated this month. And in fact, actually, I think it was this weekend. And so she's going to be going through us. So we only have like those two. Again, I don't know what to attribute that to specifically, because I know in other areas there's a lot of missionaries coming out of churches going through different mission agencies. We just don't have any right in our immediate circle right now. So I say that to say through us, we don't have a whole lot right now, but I know there are some out there, and so we're praying. And hopefully I've got a daughter and future son-in-law of it coming through the pipeline as well. Good question. Anybody else? All right. Hey, if you think of something later, feel free to ask us. Stop by our table. I encourage you to get one of our prayer cards. So we do appreciate you praying for us. Again, it really means a lot right now, just the traveling and trying to stay healthy. And again, our girls and the college situation and just things like that. We appreciate your prayers for us. Hey, I want you to get your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter number 1 this morning. Philippians chapter number 1. What a crazy, crazy year we've all experienced. Some things have happened to us, to those that we know, to our families, just to different people across the country, different people across the world. Some things that have happened that you and I would have never foreseen happening. You and I would have never imagined, again, just this time last year. If you had told me some of the things that we would be doing, just recently I had the opportunity and the privilege to preach for some churches in Ecuador. They were having a family conference, and so they called and invited me to preach via Zoom. And so I just did that last Sunday night, actually, and preached in Spanish for them in their family conference. But the year prior, 2019, in that summer, I was actually in Ecuador preaching there at a church. And if somebody had told me then that a little over a year later I would be preaching through Zoom, I'd even heard of Zoom, I would have said, "You're crazy. Why don't I just go there?" And so some things have happened to us. Some things have happened to you. I'm sure you have had some loved ones, possibly some friends, some ones that you know who have gone home to be with the Lord, who have passed away unexpectedly. And just some crazy things have happened. But thank the Lord, God always foresees those things. God is always in control of those things. And in our context for this letter this morning to the book of Philippians, this letter to the Philippian church, as Paul is writing, Paul is trying to encourage them concerning some things that happened to him. Now, the theme for this lesson this morning is simply this: the things which happened unto me. If you're a note taker this morning, I would encourage you to write that down: the things which happened unto me. And maybe for sake of application, you could just maybe jot down a couple of serious things that have happened to you this year. And maybe possibly, let's just set COVID season aside for a moment, there may be some traumatic things that have happened to you in your life, some traumatic family situations, some serious things that have happened to you. And if you think about it this way, in our society, in our culture, in our world, if you take that theme, the things which happened unto me, you can almost use that theme, or maybe imagine that theme being used on some kind of a psychiatrist-type talk show. I don't want to mention names, but something like Oprah, something like that, or Dr. Phil, or something. One of those talk shows, you could almost picture that theme, the things which happened unto me, and here's what that show would probably be about. It'd probably discuss things that have happened to people in their life, in their childhood, somewhere along the way, and how those things have impacted their life, and here's the conclusion they would probably come to. Because of those things which have happened unto you, you deserve a little sympathy, you deserve not to have too much responsibility. In fact, there's some things you should not be expected to do because of the things which happened unto you. That would probably be the idea. By the way, I really believe coming this next year and maybe even now, because of some of the things that have happened to people during the COVID season, there's going to be an idea that we should not have to take the same responsibility that we took before. I think we're even seeing that in our country now. But I'm glad to tell you, there's just an amazing testimony from the Apostle Paul in this letter as he testifies of some things that have happened unto him, but the things which happened unto him did not cause him to shirk his responsibility, did not cause him to just seek some kind of pity. It motivated him and excited him on how God used the things which happened unto him. As it begins in the first chapter, he's kind of encouraging these Philippians. He's actually, it's almost kind of a thank you note to them for their faithfulness, for their support. And in the midst of this, I want you to pick up here in verse number 12. It's almost like I can imagine Paul knows what they're thinking, because I want you to get the scene. Paul is actually writing this from prison. This church has heard that this missionary has been arrested wrongfully, is shackled to a Roman guard, and is in prison, and shouldn't be. And Paul knows what they're thinking. They're thinking, poor Paul. But look what he says in verse number 12. "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul says in verse 12, "I would you should understand." The word "understand" there, it's the Greek word gnosko. It means to know. It means to really perceive, to really grasp, to really see this. Paul says, I really want you to see, I really want you to understand that the things which happened unto me, the imprisonment, the wrongful accusations, the mistreatment, the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Here's the idea. The things that happened unto me could have had a negative effect on me, could have shut me up, could have put me in a place of despair, a place of depression, but instead these things have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Here's the question that you and I need to ask ourselves, and listen, I'm being real and transparent with you this morning because I understand there's some things that have happened this year that I'm just scratching my head and I'm just upset and it bothers me, it concerns me. And I don't know about you, but some of the things that have happened this year have actually plagued us with fear. I have found myself at moments being so fearful and thinking, why in the world am I being fearful? Why am I allowing the media to do this to me? Why do I allow the government, the politicians to plague me with such fear? But here's the question. The things that have happened unto us could have a negative effect, or they could fall out rather under the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
Which is what happened to Paul. So I just kind of want to go through this morning, and I want to give you a few notes to take down. If you're a note taker this morning, I hope that you'll write down a few things that we learned from this passage that might help us as we consider this morning the things which have happened unto us. First of all, I want you to write this down. Paul explains to us that the things which happened unto him mobilized him. I want you to write that down. They mobilized him. And the things which happened unto us can also mobilize us. Paul said, "My bonds, my chains." At the moment, he's chained to a Roman guard. That means wherever that guard goes, Paul has to go. Think about it. Paul has no control over where he is positioned. And can I say to you this morning, it's actually a very refreshing, great thing as a Christian when you and I recognize that we have no control over where we are positioned in life. We have no control over it. I don't know about you, but I don't always make the best decisions. I'm glad I don't have complete control over it. I'm glad I can yield to the Holy Spirit and trust Him to position me. And friend, I want to tell you this morning, if you're in a situation where you feel like you're in a precarious position and you're in a fearful position, and young people, if you feel like you're in a position in family that you don't want to be, understand, God is in control of that. God is sovereign over that. And sometimes God allows things to happen to position us right where He wants us. Now think about this for a moment where Paul is. Paul is in the palace. Paul is in the palace where nobody would have allowed a Christian to just come in and preach. Christians didn't get invited to come into the palace and preach to the Romans. They didn't get that invitation. But Paul has been chained to a Roman guard, and by the sovereignty of God, is right next to a Roman guard, chained to him. And you know what Paul is talking about to the Roman guard, right? You know he's not just talking about or asking him about his life and about how he loves being a Roman guard. You know that Paul is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with that Roman guard, and everybody in the palace is hearing it.
Amen.
And Paul says, the position I'm in, that was God's sovereignty.
Amen.
It's exactly where God wanted me.
Amen.
I think of Acts chapter number 8. If you go back to Acts chapter 1, you read the commission from Jesus to the church. The church was to go into all the world to preach the gospel. They're to go into Judea, Samaria, under the uttermost parts of the earth. But if you study the history of that first church, it seems like they really just kind of huddled and stayed there in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter number 8, when Stephen was stoned, there says there was a man by the name of Saul, who we know is later Paul, and he's actually consenting unto Stephen's death. And here's what Paul witnessed that moment. Paul witnessed persecution coming upon the church, and Paul was one of the persecutors. But the Bible says in Acts chapter number 8 that the result of that persecution was this. It says, at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Later in Acts chapter 11 and verse 19, it says, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. They were scattered. Why? Persecution came. They didn't want persecution, but God allowed it to happen to scatter them. As I'm speaking right now, there are folks watching live right now because of the COVID season. Many churches right now, many churches are broadcasting their services live who weren't doing so back in January of this year. But this season has caused that to happen. Friend, I want to tell you, there are folks being reached all over the world in massive quantities right now. Why? Because God has done something. God in His sovereignty has mobilized people. Right now, my Sunday school class that I teach in Arlington, Texas, we teach in person, but I also have the laptop there with a Zoom set up for some of our students that still can't come or don't feel comfortable coming. And in the process of that, we have a neighbor who have tried to get to church several times. They won't come to church, but they actually came in on our Zoom call with us. God does that.
Amen.
The things which happen unto me can mobilize me. I'll give you two things to just jot down right under that, and that is this. First of all, be content with your position. Boy, God preaches this to me all the time. Be content with your position. Paul said over in Philippians, later in Philippians chapter 4, as he's writing to these Philippian believers, he says, he's talking about how there were some moments when he didn't have all the support that he really needed or he felt like he needed. And there were times when the church couldn't give to him like they wanted to give to him. But he said this, he said, not that I speak in respect of one in verse 11. He said, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That famous verse, I can do all things which through Christ which strengtheneth me. That verse is not about hitting a home run. That verse is not about scoring a touchdown. That verse is about times like we're in right now. I know both how to be free and how to be quarantined sometime, right? I know both how to be able to be at church in person and sometimes to have to watch it online. I know how to do that. I can do that. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can be content in my position. Secondly, just write this down. I can be confident in my position. I can be confident wherever I am right now. Paul was absolutely sure of Romans 8:28 when he said, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He was confident of that. I think of Esther chapter 4 and verse 14 when Mordecai is encouraging Esther, and Esther, in a sense, is thinking, why am I even here? Why has God placed me here? And Mordecai says this to Esther. He said, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?
Amen.
Who knows if God made sure that you were right here in this world for such a time as this.
Yeah.
Right here, right now. God has you here to do something. Be content with your position. Be confident in your position. Because the things which happen unto us can mobilize us. Secondly, I want you to write this down. The things which happen unto us can manifest Christianity. Write that down. Can manifest Christianity. Paul says, my bonds in Christ. Now that's key. Here's what Paul is saying. As Paul is chained to the Roman guard, he doesn't have the same testimony that all the other prisoners have. All the other prisoners, what are you doing here? Well, I'm in chains because of the Romans. Paul's testimony was, no, my bonds in Christ. You see, I'm in some physical shackles right now, and I've been put in prison wrongfully, but I'm really here because I'm chained to Jesus Christ. I'm His servant. I'm surrendered to Him. I'm sold out to Him. I submit to wherever He wants me to be. That's where I'm going to be. And so Christianity all of a sudden is manifest. Notice it says there in verse number 13, in all the palace and in all other places. His testimony is seen by so many that he is sold out and surrendered. If you want to jot this down, maybe a couple things right here underneath that, and that is this. First of all, showing what you deny. Showing what you deny. Now, here's why I say that about Paul. Paul here has made a decision. Paul at one time was the persecutor of the church. Paul had social status. Paul, in fact, he says over in Philippians 3, he talks about all that status that he had, and he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. He was willing to deny himself of all kinds of comfort, of all kinds of respect, of all kinds of prestige. Why? Because he just wanted to know Jesus. He just wanted to serve Him and be submitted to Him. Not only showing what you deny, but secondly, write this down, showing what you value. Showing what you value. His testimony there in prison revealed what he really valued. He didn't care so much about his own personal freedom, didn't care so much about his own comfort. He cared about reaching people for Jesus and being that surrendered servant that God wanted him to be. I think of Philippians 3, verses 12 through 13, Paul said this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but this COVID season, this time right now, has revealed to me how much of a better Christian I need to be. I mean, it has brought to the surface some of our feelings, some of our real thinking. When all of this hit, God, I don't know about, I hope maybe in your life, but God has certainly revealed to me some areas in which I really need the Holy Spirit to improve in my life for me. Amen. I'm telling you, friends, that these kinds of situations, the things that happen unto us can truly manifest Christianity, showing what we deny and showing what we value, that we want to become more like Christ. You see, for the Christian right now, it ought to be this. It's not so much that we want to just get out of this and escape this. And I hear you, I understand. We're all right now in December saying, man, praise the Lord, let's get out of 2020, assuming that 2021 is going to be better. But that's our idea right now. But friend, I want to tell you, it ought to be so much, hey, let's get out of this and let's escape this. But hey, God, please make us stronger so that we can actually handle things like this. Amen. So, the things which happen unto me, they can mobilize us. They can manifest Christianity. And then finally, thirdly, I want you to write this down. The things which happen unto me can motivate others. Can motivate others. Look what Paul says here in verse number 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now he later says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul said this, listen, There's some folks that were even kind of trying to make things harder on Paul, and somehow in their preaching it had some contention in it and probably wasn't completely what it should have been. But nevertheless, Christ was being preached. Paul's situation, hear me, Paul's situation and his testimony motivated others to share the gospel. Boy, here's the convicting point for us this morning, I believe. Does our situation in this season, this year, and our suffering and our struggles and our difficulty, does our testimony in that motivate others to seek the Lord? Well, I've asked God to help me because I have the conversations that you have many times. And sometimes it just comes up a conversation with a neighbor, with a friend, with somebody at a store, at a restaurant, and you're just talking about the situation that we're in, and you're talking about the difficulty and the negativity and all that kind of stuff, and we're just talking about that. And if we're not careful as believers, we're just agreeing with that individual how terrible and how hopeless everything is. And yet as a believer, we ought to have the testimony of saying, hey, but listen, what an opportunity we have right now. And what an opportunity that people are actually thinking about death and they're seeing death. What an opportunity to ask them right now during this time, hey, none of us know when we're going to leave this life. If you left today, are you ready? Man, our testimony ought to motivate others to do the same. I'll give you two things to write down here. First of all, the Word of God is not bound by chains. The Word of God is not bound by chains. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:9 to Timothy, he said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, sometimes in chains, he said, but the Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. Praise the Lord for churches today who sometimes have had to not have services in person. I know we've had several times there, a church in Arlington, sometimes just a few days before Sunday, our pastor got on Facebook and said, hey, listen, I'm sorry, we can't meet in person. We had some folks that contracted the virus, and so we're trying to be safe. But what happened? The Word of God is not bound, though. We broadcast it. We stream it, we put it on Facebook Live, and we do everything we can, because here's the idea. We understand that we have to do things differently, but we don't want to stop what we're doing for Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, have to be creative in how you witness and how you reach out, but we don't want to stop doing it. The Word of God is not bound by change. And then secondly, write this down, the will of God is not bound by chance. The will of God is not bound by chance. I would say this to those of you who right now, maybe God is tugging at your heart, students. Maybe God is tugging at your heart about surrendering to the Lord, becoming a missionary, something like that. Maybe God is tugging at your heart about finally witnessing to that neighbor, that friend, that coworker. And God's tugging at your heart about that, but you're afraid of it. And you're trying to think by chance what might happen if you step out by faith. Listen, God's will is not bound by chance. God knows exactly what He's doing, has all things under control, and you may be like me sometimes, and I've done this before. Sometimes I know God is tugging at me to do something. I'm trying to make a decision. I'm trying to take that step, and I'm by nature I'm a preventative person. I'm always trying to be very overly cautious and trying to prevent things and be careful. And nothing wrong with that to a certain degree, but sometimes we're just standing back and it's as if we're telling God, well, God, I know I got to do that, but if I do that, this might happen. Friend, I want to tell you, listen, if you're really trying to do God's will, obey His Word and serve Him and step out by faith, God has it all under control. There's nothing that's going to happen by chance. Amen. And if something does seem to go haywire, God is still in control. Amen. God has it. God knows what He's doing. Paul is telling the Philippians, listen, I know what you're thinking. I'm writing to you from jail, and I'm writing kind of a thank you note to you, but I'm giving you some instruction here because I want you to know the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. I love that old song that says, sometimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that. I believe it's going to be worth it all. Well, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4, and some of you will relate to this. I know you're in an area where you know a lot of farmers and folks that farm, and this is kind of a farming illustration. Ecclesiastes 11, 4, the Bible says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." A lot of folks today just watching the weather from a spiritual standpoint. Watching the weather. Well, when we get past this COVID thing, right? When we finally don't have all these restrictions, when I finally don't have to wear a mask, when all that happens, oh man, I'm definitely going to get back to serving God. What if none of this changes? Folks, we can't just watch the weather. We have to sow. Pray for our missionaries right now as they continue to sow in these tough times, these difficult, frustrating times. Pray that they would just continue to sow, continue to be faithful, continue to do it. So that at the end of the day, we can say, the things which happened unto us in 2020, all these things which happened unto us have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. That's our goal. That's our desire. Hey, I hope that's a blessing to you this morning and a help to you. And again, I appreciate you having us here. I'm looking forward to preaching in just a few moments. Is there anything else? I'll turn over to you. All right.